is on the radio today. Turn it up, it's time to get on with the show. On 98.7 ESPN Radio.
And a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on a beautiful Monday, April 29th, 2024. The weather is gorgeous. It was a great Sunday for all New York teams. Everything is perfect.
Yeah.
The Rangers won. They sweep. They haven't done that in forever since 2007. The Knicks go up 3-1. The Yankees win. Last two games, they score 15 runs each game. The Mets with a walk-off home run by Vientos. That's a big weekend, Donnie.
It's a big weekend, but the Knicks and Rangers have done their fans proud. It's got that feel, Michael, that weather's warmer now, and the Rangers are in the second round of the playoffs. The Knicks are a win away from embarrassing the Philadelphia 76ers, and that's not nothing, man. Watching that game, that Sixer-Knick game, how are you just not proud of the team? It's like one thing to just be like super pumped for your team, but how often can you say you're proud? You're proud of the effort. God, the fact that they wanted it more. Like, I don't want to talk in those terms because then it makes it seem like this is more a Sixer loss than a Knick win. They're the better team. They prove it up and down. They've proven that they're the better team. Their fan base took over the building, Michael. They took over the building. How about you? Just got to be just bubbling with pride on the way the Knicks played, and then with the Rangers just taking care of business the way a President's Trophy winner should. You could say, oh well, maybe a little, close. I really felt like when they needed to, they were the better team too. So here we go, man. It's going to be a fun spring.
All right, now we talk about the Knicks, and so we'll start off with them. And Don, you know that I'm loath to say, well, this team wanted it more, and you mentioned this as well. The Knicks seem like they're tougher than the Sixers. I think the Sixers wanted it, but when they went down to their reservoir of needing to dig deep, it wasn't as deep as the Knicks.
True.
The Knicks had overcome a lot of things. There was no Mitchell Robinson. Josh Hart shot terribly. He was awful yesterday. But you know what? He said, okay, I'm not shooting well from the free throw line. I'm going to grab rebounds. He was unbelievable that way. DiVincenzo didn't shoot well. OG Anunoby was unbelievable defensively against Embiid in the fourth quarter. Precious Achiuwa stepped up, gave them really, really big minutes. And, of course, then there's Jalen Brunson, who scored more points in a playoff game for the Knicks that's ever been done before, breaking the record previously held by Bernard King, who did twice 46 points, but Brunson had 47. He was just a beast yesterday, and he's been like that the whole year, so I was a little worried at the first two games and the games during the season when they seemed like they had the formula to slow him down, but they didn't slow him down yesterday. You know what I didn't like, Don? That they were talking after the game, well, if you're going to take that many shots, whoa. He hit over 50% of his shots. I don't care how many shots he takes. He's supposed to stop them. They couldn't stop him. They had no answer for him. They had no answer for the Knicks on the boards. And the Knicks are a better team than the Sixers. They really are.
By the way, the thing is, we're just remembering this now. I mean, there is a reason that the Knicks were the seed they were and the Sixers were they were. The problem was, it gets very scary when you're dealing with going to Philadelphia, playing there, and playing Embiid, who, guys, when he's unstoppable, feels unstoppable. So I don't want to give, let me put it this way, the way it panned out, it's a beautiful story, and I agree, and now we're sitting here being like, yes, the Knicks are the better team. But there was a world, Don, after the first quarter, when the Knicks shot as poorly as they did, I saw a version of this going the other way. But to your point that you made earlier, Michael, thankfully, they're the tougher team. I don't even know how much better they are, but I know that they're tougher.
And you just see by the rebounds, how many a second, third opportunities the Knicks get when they weren't shooting well, but they still just, whenever there's a loose ball, whenever a ball's up for grabs, they come down with it. They just have proven it time and time again, and that's why you didn't worry as much about maybe the shots not falling, because there's an excellent chance they were going to get a second and third opportunity after those misses.
The thing that really annoyed me with the Sixers, there was a lot of whining after the game. They said, well, of course they're better at offensive rebounds because they know Brunson's going to shoot the ball all the time, so they put themselves in position. Okay, then if they know it, then you should know it. That's number one. Number two, Joel Embiid crying about the fact that the Sixer fans didn't show up. You know what? Don't lose the first two games in New York. Maybe they don't sell their tickets to New York Knicks fans. Maybe that's the case. Knicks fans took over the building. And, Peter, I don't know if you know this, but the building was up for grabs.
Well, no, finally, it really happened. A building was truly up for grabs. I don't even know if it was up for grabs. It felt like it was the Knicks' house is what it felt like. But you got to give it up. And this is why I will push back on the one thing you just said, Michael, about the better team part. I really do think it's more that they're the harder working, grittier team. I mean, yeah, they're slightly more talented, maybe. Although by having a player as dominant as Embiid, I think that's an interesting argument. But late in the game, Don, do you realize if the Knicks had just hit some shots down the stretch, they would have won by 12. They couldn't buy a bucket for those. There was a five-minute stretch in the fourth quarter where they were missing shot after shot. But to the point you just made, Michael, they just kept getting offensive rebounds, kept out-hustling them, and you had the feeling they were just going to pull this thing out.
Now, this could just be semantics, but sometimes the talented team is not necessarily the better team. You know, guts and guile and desire and want to are also part of what makes a team great. There's been plenty of teams in every sport where you're like, look at how talented that team is, and yet they never seem to win. Why? Because they're missing that one little element. And that's why I get on the Sixers maybe more than any other team. You know, the process and the tanking. Like, they made it out to be some sort of analytical formula in which you now produce a championship team. But they're missing the essence of what a championship team really is. And, I agree with you, Peter. From a talent standpoint, they're right there, if not better than the Knicks. But when you analyze how great a team is, it goes beyond the talent each player has. It's how well they're coached. It's how hard they work. And that, to me, is what makes the Knicks a better basketball team.
But you would say that of all the players on both teams, Embiid's the best player. I mean, he's reigning MVP.
He's number one. No doubt
about
it. He's
the best player.
Yes.
The Sixers, okay, they shot 0 for 11 in the final 5 minutes of the fourth quarter. 0 for 11. He got stopped completely by a guy who's 5 inches shorter than him and 50 pounds lighter. So, again, the talent is there, but is the toughness there? I mean, for a city that's built on toughness, that's the Philadelphia way. This team does not mirror its city.
No.
The Knicks mirror the city. And I don't buy into that garbage anyway. Oh, they're New York. Oh, okay. There's a lot of soft people in New York, too. A lot of soft people in Philly. But the bottom line is this. The Philadelphia 76ers just got outworked, outmaneuvered, and even outcoached by the New York Knicks. They did, and now they're up 3-1. Do I think the series is definitely over? I think I'd bet a significant amount of money that it is, but I don't think that the Philadelphia Sixers are going to go down quietly tomorrow. I just don't.
I don't know.
I just don't think they will.
I mean, we'll see, but it's going to counteract everything we know about this team. Boy, the way that they lost Game 4 just feels like they're done. They're cooked.
But
this team, Peter, is going to get off the mat on the road. Hey, again, anything's possible. As you said, they're a very talented team, and maybe the Knicks don't hit their shots or whatever, but God, it just feels like a Philadelphia team that they're just ready to go. They're done.
Now, the Knicks, when they're up 3-1, they are 9-1 in the history of their franchise in a series. Philadelphia has never, ever won a playoff series after trailing 3-1. They're 0-17 in those series. What does that mean? It's the numbers for, you know, grist for the mill. I don't know, because those teams were different. Obviously, they were different. But maybe there's something in the water. I'm not quite sure. But the Sixers did not show up at the end of the game. As Peter said, it looked for a while. They had a 12-point lead over the Knicks. Oh, going to come back to the Garden on Tuesday. It's going to be tied at 2. It's going to be a great series. And then just something clicked in. The Knicks refused to lose. And the Sixers didn't have that extra gear to match what the desperation of the Knicks. And I think that's been the case the entire series. It really has. The Knicks have had some calls go for them. I understand that. But the Sixers had some calls as well. Yesterday, again, Embiid was dirty, threw an elbow into Brunson's face. They didn't call it. Didn't call anything. Josh Hart also did the same thing to a Sixer. They didn't call it. So I think that the word from the NBA was let them play. And that's exactly what happened. Let them play.
Let's be real about this, though. I mean, we say this, Don, about series like in every sport all the time, but it bears repeating. It's so wacky playing these 7-game series because you feel so good at 3-1 going home. It's like, oh, we got this. But if you somehow blow it,
And it's not like that's out of the realm of possibilities based on what we've seen in terms of how these two teams played at the Garden. All of a sudden, you go from on top of the world to, Michael, imagine, let's say the Knicks play an outright bad game on Tuesday, and they get beat up bad at home. This fan base is going to have their hearts in their throat going back to Philly with the series 3-2. You have to finish this series. I can't stress this enough. They have to finish this series tomorrow. Even though, Michael, they out hustled them, there's another world where they go back and play a sixth game in Philly and Embiid drops another 50 spot and you can't do anything. So, and then you're playing a terrifying game 7 at home. They earned it yesterday. I'm really proud of how that team played. It was incredible to see. But Don, in my opinion, they have to finish this thing tomorrow.
Well, I mean, have to is strong.
Yeah.
Because, you know, go back to Philly and still going to go back to the Garden game 7. But here's
who
my
wants to
thought
do that?
Here's my thought on it, though. I think that the ultimate ability to advance in the playoffs is not to play as many games as the team that you're going to face next. That's why I'm thrilled what the Rangers did. Boom. Get rid of the Capitals. 4 games over. Because even if the Islanders lose tomorrow, it's still a 5-game set. It's still 2 days that they've had to work while the Rangers didn't have to. I think if the Knicks could get this done in 5 games, let them relax, let them reset. Maybe Mitchell Robinson gets better. I think it's important to end series early, especially in the beginning of the playoffs, because I've seen it with the Rangers before. 7 games, 7 games, 7 games, and then they're worn out. This time they're not worn out, and the Knicks want to finish this tomorrow so they don't get worn out.
But I think it's a little bit beyond that, though. I'm sorry. When you're talking about a team that I think is slightly more talented in Philadelphia, to me it's beyond wanting to get it done early. It's just you want to prevent anything bad happening. What about that moment yesterday when we saw Jalen go knee to knee, get dinged up, and have to leave for 5 minutes? Michael, they somehow lose the game. Let's say they lose the game on Tuesday. You go back and play game 6, and Jalen steps the wrong way. What happens then?
Well, then every game you play, that's a threat. I understand what you're saying.
But particularly when you're so barely able to be better than your opponent. The Knicks can't lose very much and beat the Sixers. Do we all agree with that? It's taking the maximum effort for the Knicks. They may be up 3-1, but it's by the hairs of their chinny chin chin. I'm sorry, let's not forget about how game 2 happened. You got to be thrilled, but I just think you want to get the hell out of Dodge with the Sixers team. I do not feel like seeing them more.
I don't think the Sixers have it, Peter. I think to Michael's point, you want to finish it early because Milwaukee can end their series tomorrow as well. That's the team that you're going to face coming up next, so you want to make sure that you're on even footing with them. And the other point that you just made, Peter, about every extra game means the potential of something disastrous happening to Brunson or to Hartenstein, some sort of an injury where you go, boy, if we had finished it off early, that would have never happened. But I don't think this Sixer team has the ability, has the cubes to win 3 straight games against this Knicks team. I don't see it.
But did you really feel that way yesterday with more than 5 minutes left?
Yeah, because when it came to crunch time, you saw how the Knicks played. Like, and every, with the exception of the one game where the Sixers kind of went, you know, it really wasn't that competitive. Every time it's been competitive down the stretch, and you're right, when you take a look at this series, games 1 and 2 and the game four yesterday, that it could have went either way as far as the score was concerned. But when it was really on the line, the Knicks proved they were just a better team, that they wanted it more, that they outworked the Sixers. So why all of a sudden now would I be concerned that the Sixers, who have not really ever in this series outworked, they might have outplayed the Knicks in Game 3, the first game in Philadelphia, but when it's really come down to the nitty-gritty, the Knicks have shown in the other 3 wins that they find the way to get it done. So why would I think the Sixers all of a sudden now would get off the mat and win 3 straight?
Listen, I hear what you're saying. It's a reasonable point, and I'm not trying to downplay how well this Knicks team has played and what they deserve, because I can already hear Knicks fans being like, oh, but Peter, way to downplay. I'm not saying that. And maybe there are Knicks fans who hear what I'm saying. I just feel like we've had these moments in this series, the end of game 2, where this series should have been 1-1. You have yesterday where it still easily could have gone another way. I just feel like, even though I hear what you're saying, Don, heart-wise, I have not been impressed with the Sixers team. It doesn't seem like they want it. I do think they're slightly more talented and could win games. So I hope they finish things off tomorrow. I think we all agree on that. Let's come out tomorrow, blow them out early, make it a celebration in the Garden where you take their heart. Because I'll say this, I definitely agree. This is a team in the Sixers that's poised to have their heart taken away from them early tomorrow night.
Let me push back on you just a little bit. Why do you keep saying that the Sixers are more talented? If you go 1-8, the Knicks are more talented. Knicks have a better bench.
Yeah.
And maybe you're just going Embiid and Maxey, but if you go 1-8, I think the Knicks are better.
It's a 1-8, you might be right, but that one that they have, first of all, and they're two. Maxey's fantastic as well. But I'm really just talking about the ability of a guy to completely go off and dominate. Embiid has that on a different level than anyone else in the series. And I know I say that coming off of Jalen Brunson setting a record, dropping 47 points and it being amazing. But the effort level that it takes for Brunson to be able to do that versus Embiid, who, guys, also this is a point worth mentioning. The Knicks got to learn to keep their feet down and not bite at every single thing Joel Embiid does. I mean, the guy just can grab 20 free throws with no hesitation without putting any work in. So there's just the way that Joel Embiid is capable of dominating scares me.
I don't want you to be scared.
I don't want to be, and I don't want to be scared. I was scared about the Celtics. They made me feel much better in Game 3. Much better.
Let's go to the phone, see what you're thinking. Let's go to Andres in Elmsford. What's up, buddy? Take it off.
Hey, how's it going? So I wanted to call in. I'm a Knicks fan, but I wanted to call in kind of defending the Sixers fans for a second.
Okay.
Because the Knicks, you saw them take over, the Wells Fargo, and Embiid is crying about, oh, well, you know, the Knicks fans are taking over and Philly fans should be embarrassed. Well, the reason why, if you take a look at those seats, those are like corporate seats that are getting sold. And what's happened is the Knicks fans who've been priced out, every fan base, you know, has been priced out of some of their best seats, but the Knicks fans who get priced out of their seats for the corporate now have the money to go and buy those corporate seats because the real Philly fans have been priced out. So, Embiid is like, oh, in 10 years,
It just wasn't corporate seats. He took over the whole building.
No, but what I'm saying is, and if this isn't true in Indiana and Boston, then I'm wrong. But I think this year, what you're going to see is that because of the culture of buying seats and, you know, people buy up the prices and then resell them, like you saw this with Ticketmaster and the Taylor Swift like tickets, that New Yorkers who travel and New Yorkers who have the money, it's cheaper. I looked it up. It's cheaper for me to go to Philly and get 100 level seats for a family of four than getting two and the 200 levels of the Knicks game. So
you mean
we're gonna travel?
Philly fans can't afford it, is what you're saying?
Yes. And
why do you think the economy is worse in Philly?
Hey, you should be embarrassed.
But they're Philly fans that are selling these tickets, Andres. They're the ones selling the tickets.
Yeah, those seats are low.
No, I'm saying it's a corporate.
How do you know it's a corporate thing? There are people that are selling their tickets. When they went down 2-0, they sold their tickets to Knicks fans.
And by the way,
not all corporate seats.
And by the way, it could even be corporate people who are selling their seats. It's still the same point for Embiid. Why are you selling your seats?
My point is, I think you're going to see the Knicks take over not only in Philly, but in Indy and even in Boston, simply because the culture of buying.
They will not take over. You're wrong. It's a ridiculous statement.
No, listen.
First of all, it was in a ridiculous way. I said hello to him at the beginning, and then it's a ridiculous statement. I mean, corporate seats. So the whole building is corporate. So when they were putting a Knick jersey on Wilt Chamberlain's statue outside the arena, that was corporate. Come on. That is such nonsense. The Sixer fans gave up a 2-0, and I don't blame them. I don't get in people's wallet. They wanted to make some of their money back, so they sold their tickets for profit. I don't think it's going to happen in Boston.
Michael, you see it with the Yankees. I saw it last night with the Rangers. There were a lot of Ranger fans in Washington. 3-0 series lead. It's a train ride down to Washington. There were several Ranger fans. The New York travels very well because there's just so many of us. But I would never say, as much as the Rangers ended up winning the series, the Capitol fans showed up despite being down 3-0. They were loud. They were into it. And eventually, you know, the Rangers won the game and their fans celebrated. But being in that building, it never felt like the Capitol fans embarrassed themselves. They showed up even though they were down 3-0. Philadelphia fans, they went out just like their team did. They don't believe in their team. And that's why it's not even about the sheer amount of people. It's the fact that they were able to take it over and be louder and be heard, because I think the Sixer fan base knows they're done. That's the whole idea of taking over the building, Peter, is that it was easy to take over because this Sixer fan base doesn't believe in their team.
Go to Bill in Union. Bill, what's up?
First time, long time. How are you? And I've been waiting to make this statement for a long time. When Isaiah Thomas was the coach, he said that Knicks fans will never tolerate a rebuild. And I'm not saying that this has been a total rebuild with the Knicks, but I will say this. Knicks fans will always tolerate putting a team on the floor that's a blue-collar team that will bust their butt every second that they're on the floor. And I think that's one of the reasons why this city and this team has really embraced this Knicks team, because they give everything that they have and they bust their butt every second that they're on the floor. And I totally disagreed with Isaiah when he said it then, and I really agree with one of the reasons why this city has really embraced this team.
Well, I mean, there's a couple of things you're saying there, Bill. I mean, they don't embrace rebuilds. I'm sure of it. They don't, because attendance goes down. But the Garden, though, became a place where people from other countries were visiting, and they went to see the most famous arena. So the arena was somewhat always filled, but it was not always sold out. There were many, many bad years. Now, I love when people say they'll only embrace a blue-collar team. You tell me if they had a bunch of high-flying, Cadillac sort of players that were all fancy and everything, and they won, that they wouldn't embrace it? They embrace winners. This team is a blue-collar team because it doesn't have an overabundance of stars. It has an overabundance of role players, and so that makes them blue-collar, and we connect it with New York. I think that's a little overblown. I don't want to pour cold water on that narrative, but I think that's a little overblown. If you win, no matter how you do it, you will be embraced.
If they were the Pat Riley Lakers of the late 80s, I think Knicks fans would be celebrating the team and excited about it, but it is something. Lunch pail is always something that's attached to New York, even though New York's probably one of the most cosmopolitan cities in the nation. You know, when the Giants won in 86, it was the Big Blue Wrecking Crew, and there were lunch pail, Knicks are lunch pail. I think we do enjoy teams like that, but I don't think that necessarily that's the way you have to build a team in New York. They're going to gravitate to winners. And no matter how they got to where they are, Michael, I think this fan base would embrace the Knicks. A 2 seed up 3-1 against the Philadelphia 76ers, no matter how they play.
If you win, they'll embrace you, no matter how you do it. And I thought your use of the Showtime team, that was not a blue-collar team. That was just a great, high-flying team. I think New Yorkers would love them. But now it's an easy narrative because this team is blue-collar. It is lunch pail because they have to be. They don't have the overabundance of talent.
But we can now finally end the conversation. And I've said this now for a few weeks, but I think yesterday truly was the nail in the coffin. We don't have to say, will they go out and get a superstar anymore? They have a superstar.
They need another one.
No, another player. But
Superstar.
They don't need another superstar. They need another great player. You need another great player. But they don't need to necessarily have someone. I mean, I don't know. I'm looking across the league now and seeing the teams. They threw together three superstars in Phoenix. It got them absolute bupkis. It got them embarrassed in the playoffs
because they played against one of the best players in the league.
Oh, okay, fine. But they were swept. They didn't perform at all. I'm just saying. I'm not disagreeing, Michael, that they need another player. But I'm saying, let's stop saying that we need a superstar. And I think most people are done saying it. He is Jalen Brunson. Do we all three of us agree, though? He's a full-on superstar at this
point. Yes, and I think that you need two superstars on a team.
So that's fine. If you want to make the argument you need an additional superstar, I'll play along. But I just don't want to hear anyone act that this team doesn't have an absolute marquee, highest-level player because they have one.
Hey, if you're like me, you love to spend time at home. My home is my happy place. I've been telling you that my home needed a refresh. So I chose the painting professionals at CertaPro Painters. They exceeded my expectations. I easily scheduled online, and my CertaPro Painting consultant provided a free estimate on site. We walked through the detailed estimate, and I was able to book the project right there. And the painting, well, it was exceptional. CertaPro Painters offers a warranty, so I have confidence that they will stand by their work and make sure that I'm completely satisfied. Free estimates, reliable communication, professional painting, all at the right price. Are you ready to paint and take projects off of your to-do list? Contact CertaPro Painters. Get started today. Each CertaPro Painters business is independently owned and operated by men and women who live in our community. They're a local business that you can support. Schedule your free estimate online at CertaPro.com. That's Certa with a C. When choosing a painting professional for your home or business, the choice is simple. Choose happy. Choose CertaPro Painters.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple.
Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, in answer to the caller, Andres, I believe his name was.
Yes.
Anthony Donahue was the biggest Knick fan in the world and was actually in Philly. He just tweeted out, definitely season ticket holders were putting tickets on sale. Other Knick fans said the same thing.
Right.
I bought mine from a season ticket holder. They gave up on their team. Yeah. And they decided to cash in and make some money. I don't blame them. I could see why it would upset the Sixers, but if you didn't get swept in New York, maybe it's a different story. That's exactly what happened. Forget about corporations. These are individual, personal season ticket holders, and they sold their tickets. They're trying to make back some of the money. New York fans took over Wells Fargo. They did. It was an embarrassment. Also, when did John Starks become such a maniacal fan?
By the way, I mean, you guys saw Stephen A's video yesterday?
No, I didn't.
He's out of control. I mean.
What happened now?
He's just screaming into the camera. And I think he was working the games yesterday, too, wasn't he? There was an ABC vehicle.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's I mean, I'm not saying I don't buy it. I buy it a little bit. Like I know Stephen likes the Knicks. I know he does. I do not actually think that Stephen A. has ever once been in a bad mood at the end of the day. When he looks into his closet filled with fine suits and goes to his fine dinners with, I'm sure, lovely company, I don't think, Don, he spends one night being sad if the Knicks lose.
I think he does what's good for him. I think he's a Knick fan. There's no question about that.
And it's become a gig, a shtick.
And I think killing them was a shtick, and now rooting for them is a shtick. But I don't doubt that he's a Knick fan. I don't know when all this started happening, where analysts just openly root for teams. But I think he makes it work for him. When they're bad, it works for him that he destroys them. And now it works for him that he's all on board.
1-800-919-3776. Kind of a seismic day in broadcasting. Boomer Esiason announced on his show today that he's leaving CBS, and he was very forthright. He said, more their decision than mine. And then it was quickly followed up that they're not bringing back Phil Simms either.
Yeah.
So now that hurt me. No Simms?
No Simms.
I was surprised. Both. Did they announce anyone else?
They announced that Matt Ryan's going to join them. And J.J. Watt will continue, you know, not doing every single
good.
Show.
I just don't. It's really a sad day when it's just you're. We think you're too old to do it, and not too old meaning that
they didn't say that though.
You can't do that. It's just we want to try to stay relevant, and unfortunately, you know, an audience didn't see them play, so they're not relevant anymore. Never mind the fact that they're outstanding at what they do. That doesn't matter. So just, you know, I don't know if Jason Kelce can do it. You know,
Matt Jason Kelce was hired for Monday Night Football.
I have no idea if he can do the job. But unfortunately, for the way the business is right now, let's get the hot person, let's get the personality, let's get the famous person. Whether they can do their job or not is irrelevant. And I wish them well. Maybe Matt Ryan will do a great job. Maybe Jason Kelce will do a great job. But I do know who did a great job, and that was Boomer Esiason and Phil Sims, whether it's games, whether it's analysis. But unfortunately, a higher percentage every year of the audience never saw them play. They lose their relevancy, and they get kicked to the curb. But do we know their replacements are going to be as good as them? We'll see. I hope so, but I doubt it.
It's, you know, Sims was there 26 years. And Boomer was there, I believe, 20 years.
It's just a weird thing to change for Matt Ryan.
You know what makes me sick, Peter, about the whole business is that I fell in love with football. I never saw Irv Corus play. I never saw Brookshire play. I had a vague remembrance of John Madden as a coach, as a really young kid, but loved him and felt he was relevant, even though I didn't have much of a memory of him being a coach with the Raiders. I never saw Frank Gifford play. But yet I still loved football. I still felt that they provided me with a tremendous amount of entertainment and education. But I guess now the youth of America can only relate to people that they know and seen play.
But sad. Let me defend something on that, Don, because they're not going to let go of Charles and Kenny at Turner because their characters are too important to it. So, like, what it tells you is more so than it being about whether or not people saw them play in their age, it's about what level of character you play and how it connects with people. And as much as we may have thought Boomer and Phil did a good job, did either of them connect so much that they needed them on that show?
They might have. We don't know.
But is that what you think? Like, based on what we know, do people ever come away on a Sunday talking about what Phil and Boomer do? That's kind of the world we live in more than anything.
But on all the football shows, who's talking about anything that anybody says?
I mean, Don's going to blow a gasket when I say it, but that's why Terry Bradshaw is around for so long. Because he's a wacky character who people feel a connection to, even if, Don, you think he's the worst broadcaster who's ever lived.
But I think what TNT has with the NBA just works for them. So they'd be silly to bother it. You know, because there is a connection that they have. I don't know that so 25 years working now all of a sudden they lost their connection, even though the ratings are absolutely through the roof.
I know. Well,
then they get replaced by people. You know, but, and I'll say this about Terry Bradshaw. Terry Bradshaw started out like on the D team on CBS back in the day, worked his way up. Build up his credibility to the point where now he is, even though I'm not a huge fan, a significant part of what Fox does. But there is now it just, well, you're a former player, they throw him on the air. And you can say, well, does it work? Does it not work? It didn't work for Drew Brees. And then you get people that did the work. Phil did games for a long time, and he didn't get thrown right into the fire right away. Worked there, got there, Boomer, the same thing. And they put in the time, and they put in the work. And now, just because you're a former athlete that takes off his shirt and guzzles beer, you get a chance to be on television. That's a sad day. I hope they do great. But it doesn't seem like there's a lot of credibility in getting jobs anymore. The more famous you are, throw them on. Wait, listen, Tom Brady may kill it. But they don't know. I have no idea. But he's Tom Brady. Give him $35 million a year. Let's see, on the fly. So,
well, that was an outlier, Don, because, you know,
is it? Tom, what experience did Tony Romo have?
Well, he
right
started
to the number
off
one
on
seed, $18 million a year.
He started off on a lower rung.
He did?
When?
Did he get the, he got full Romo, job right away?
I think Romo was right in.
I think Romo was right in.
Well, I might be wrong.
But he jumped right in, you know, because why? I mean, listen, and he's good. I don't know if he's $18 million a year good, but he's good. But I just, and again, I'm not picking on my company, Fox, all of them, CBS, it doesn't matter. It just, even though they print money and they print ratings, it's just, hey, you played, you got some sort of a personality, throw them on. And there's a lot of former athletes that actually put in the time and the sacrifice and the work to become very good at what they do. And Boomer and Phil are two of those people that in their post-career have put in the work to get the gigs. And now they're going to be taken over by people that have not put the work in yet.
I'm surprised for Ryan. I mean, the star of that show is obviously, why was his name escaping? Nate Burleson.
Right.
That's the star. So there was some thought they wouldn't even bring back James Brown, and Nate Burleson was going to host.
Oh, really?
And the one thing, I don't want to knock the guy because he's on the show every now and then with us, but I don't see what the love affair is with Bill Cowher. Is he great on the air? Would you rather hear Boomer or Phil?
But there is something, too, when you take a look, and obviously there's exceptions to every rule, but, you know, baseball did it, too. Put on Red Sox, put on former Yankees, put on former Cowboys, put on former Steelers, put on former Giants. Massive fan bases that may watch just because they like those players. Am I wrong?
No,
Raiders.
Right.
Howie, I mean, you know, you do see some exceptions here or there. You know, obviously, Olsen played for the Panthers, so there are different exceptions. But for the most part, in all these sports, throw on the guy that played that has the massive fan base and the massive following. Hey, and it's work for him, Peter. I'm a fart in the wind because they obviously know what they're doing. They print money. They're getting tremendous, especially football. But I'm of the belief you put in the work, you put in the time, and you get to a certain place. You pay your dues. I don't see a lot of dues paying anymore in this business.
Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Rudy in Poughkeepsie. Rudy.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. What's up?
Listen, I have something to bring up. I'm a New Yorker through and through. I love New York. Anything gritty, Yankees, Mets, Knicks, love stuff like that. That whole Embiid play before when he did with Mitchell Robinson, you know, Mitchell Robinson could have hurt himself. This game that came up that Brunson scored 47, he gave him a big shoulder when I guess somebody was trying to cut the basket. He was giving the screen. And I loved how gritty, because I'm from New York, how gritty Brunson got, because the next play over when the play was already dead comes back, and when he was going to shoot foul shots, he looks at Embiid and asks him, hey, what's that about? And I loved it, because to me it's like, we see you, we see what you're doing, it's not going to phase us, I'm still going to throw 47 on your head tonight, it's not going to matter, let's bring it back to the Garden. So I just want to give a shout-out to the Knicks and how good we're doing, how gritty we are, even though there's people trying to play a little nasty and dirty, but we're here for it.
Well All said.
Right, sounds good.
You should be proud of your team.
Yeah.
Let's go to Chris in the UPS truck. Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you guys doing today?
Good. How are you?
My voice is still messed up from game one at the Garden.
Oh, boy.
But it was intense. It was crazy. I was yelling for Deuce to kill. Deuce was killing. Real quick, I just want to say, Embiid scoring 50 on game three. Yeah, game three, scoring 50. I don't think that's really what killed us. He killed us, literally. But Cameron Payne dropping the 11, getting the garbage minutes and just going ham, that's what kind of killed. That took the momentum on their side. So I'm really not worried about it. But all the Embiid dirty plays and the crying, and let's not forget the robotic eye that he's dealing with. I mean, I'm sorry for his health. But he, at the end of this series, what I really want you guys to do is, Peter, you especially, is to go get Embiid some better help. That's all I got to say.
You know what? It's a great point. It's a great point.
I will tell you this. Embiid had the 50 in game three, and they still could have won, the Knicks.
Right.
Because if you watched, I for some reason, I couldn't turn it off. I watched the whole second half of the Timberwolves and the Suns.
Really?
You could not stop Devin Booker, and you couldn't really stop Durant.
Yeah.
And you know what? The Timberwolves won. Big guys can get their points. You got to stop everybody else. They're going to get their points. You contain them. You're not going to stop them. You contain them. And Anthony Edwards was too much. He might be the best player in basketball right now. He's so special. But let Embiid get 50 again tomorrow. That's okay. Stop everybody else. Don't let Maxey go off. Don't let Lowry get his points. Lowry was terrible yesterday. Terrible. So it's not about the guy getting his points. He's going to get his points. You got to stop other people. Let's go to David in Schenectady. David.
Hey, young men.
What's up?
Oh, hey. I'm just talking about, you guys are talking about combos, like in the booth, who we're fans of. I grew up with Mike and Mike, Tom Jackson, Chris Berman, you guys. It really doesn't matter too much about if you're a fan of the guy who played. Like, that flash in the pan stuff doesn't really last. You know what I mean? If you look at all these shows that last a long time, it's like guys that we just enjoy hearing. Some are all Madden. I didn't know Madden as a coach.
Right, me neither.
So I'm saying I accepted who they were, and I loved them or hated them based on what they had to say. Like, Irv Cross was a former Eagle. I'm a Giant fan, but it was irrelevant to me. He was very good at what he did, and I couldn't wait to watch the pregame show to get his analysis of the sport. Same with everybody else, but it obviously it's changed, and they have the metrics and the analytics that back up what they do.
I don't even know if that's it, man. That's the thing that I don't get about it. Like, we this is the thing that drives me nuts about this country.
Oh, it's a country thing.
Yeah, that's
Ooh,
right.
Nice.
No, it is. Hear me out, Don. Hear
wow.
me. Wow. Every one of these countries, every one of these companies cries poor. Every one of them. They fire tons of people. And then every moment they get a chance to throw an obscene amount of money at a football player, with all due respect, Matt Ryan wouldn't move the needle if you were a diehard Falcons fan. He wouldn't make you turn on the TV. Matt Ryan, there's nothing Matt Ryan could be doing that would make me turn on the TV any more frequently than I already do. And yet they'll throw just gobs of money at these athletes because they're popular in the moment. I don't get it. And then you'll find out they had to fire 120 employees 2 weeks from now.
And they always tell you, well, it's a different pot.
All right, right, right.
Right. That's always the answer, right?
Is that the same conversation that we're going to have about at the end of June when we all start paying to drive below 59th Street?
I will not go below 59th.
I'll
walk there.
Don't get me started. Don't even get me started.
Don, what about BetMGM? Why don't you tell us about that?
Well, the NBA playoffs are here, and the New York Knicks are in. Did you know that? They're in, and it's time to hit the court with BetMGM, an authorized betting partner of the NBA. Download the BetMGM app today and get every playoff game and every viral moment in the game. Every one you can get involved with, game parlays, live betting options, player props, boosted odds specials, and the best daily promotions in the business. With the BetMGM app at your fingertips, you can experience the excitement of wagering on the NBA playoffs and get in on all of the blue and orange action as your New York Knicks drive the lane. Find out why basketball fans love BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Madison Square Garden and the New York Knicks. Download the app and take the king of sportsbooks with you wherever you go. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 years of age or older to wager and physically present in New York and New Jersey only. Gambling problem in New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369. In New Jersey, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
All right, I've got it right here. I know you've been waiting. Here's the Yankees starting lineup brought to you by Bigelow Tea. It's a little bit of a surprise, guys. Here we go. Leading off. Turned 23 yesterday. The shortstop, Anthony Volpe.
Oh, yeah.
Batting second, right fielder, Juan Soto. Batting third, the left fielder, Aaron Judge. Batting cleanup, first baseman, Anthony Rizzo, hit his 300th home run yesterday. Giancarlo Stanton, DH, will bat fifth. Batting sixth, catching Austin Wells. Batting seventh, second baseman Gleyber Torres. Batting eighth, third baseman Oswaldo Cabrera. Batting ninth, the center fielder Trent Grisham. And pitching is Clark Schmidt against Grayson Rodriguez of the Orioles. Now you might say, well, why's Judge in left? Well, you might say, why's Judge in left? Well, neither Don or Peter will say that.
Why is Judge in left?
Hey, I got a question. Everyone?
That?
Well, why is Judge in left?
Because Alex Verdugo has left the team. He's on paternity leave.
Ah.
So they're left fielder, so they give him a little less ground to cover, although left field here at Camden Yards is very deep now. But that's why he's in left. And Trent Grisham, who is a great center fielder, is in center. That's the Yankee starting lineup brought to you by Bigelow Tea. Bigelow Tea is a proud supporter of the Michael K. Show and the official hot tea of the New York Yankees. Let's go back to the phone, shall we? Let's go to Will in Sacramento. Will.
Hey, what's up, fellas? How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. Not too bad. I caught the tail end of the conversation a little bit earlier. You guys were talking about a broadcaster who recently got fired from CBS, I think, or let go.
Boomer and Phil Sims are out.
Boomer and Phil Sims.
Got it. Okay, thank you. So I was going to say this. I think the same reason that these corporations or companies could care less about showing allegiance to an older broadcaster is the same reason why they also hire these guys and pay them, these former players, and pay them $20-30 million a year, is because they could care less about who's calling the game. You know, people are still going to watch regardless. So,
is it a waste of money? Then aren't you wasting money?
What was that?
Aren't you wasting money then?
I think so. I mean, I guess, yeah, but I just don't see if it's a waste of money to them. They're making so much anyway.
But if you pay a lot of money to a broadcast, you're making a little less money. Now, I am not of the belief that you could throw anybody on a pregame and a postgame show. I think personalities drive the day there. I really do.
I do too, because it doesn't.
I believe that on games, a game you're going to watch no matter who's doing it.
Yeah, because you look at the difference between with the pre and postgame show ratings and the actual game ratings. So you can move the needle, I think, on a pre- and post-game show. I think TNT's proven that there are people that might watch a game because they love the pre and the post so much. That's rare. So those guys deserve every dime they get over with the basketball for TNT, and I think they're killing it over in hockey as well with what they're doing there with their analysis. But during a game, if it's a big game, I've never heard anybody say, I'm not watching that because he's announcing the game. If you want to watch the game, you're going to want to watch the game.
So Boomer's been there 22 years. Phil's 26 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I hope CBS buttoned everything up. Because if you're getting rid of guys just because of their age, you're going to get yourself in trouble. Can't fire somebody because of their age.
No, but you can work around it
I guess they're going to have to work around it because isn't it strange that the two guys that are older got fired? Now they could say, well, James Brown's in the 70s. We're bringing him back.
Different job, but.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Like, I get what you're trying to do from a relevancy standpoint, and unfortunately, the older you are, the less relevant you're going to be.
But Don, do you really believe that Matt Ryan is more relevant than Boomer Esiason and Phil Sims?
I'm with you. Okay, now I don't know what it is they see in Matt Ryan. He doesn't jump off as somebody that I got to go see. But maybe they've looked into it or whatever. But if they're trying to get the coveted younger demographic, I guess they feel like I want to get guys that can play. And in some cases, I get it. Like in baseball, Michael, I think the older you are as an analyst, maybe you become less relevant because you're not up on the analytics the way the game is played anymore. But in watching Boomer and watching Phil, I never got a sense that they weren't relevant anymore, that the game passed them by. That their anecdotes or how they looked at it were like old school. I never sensed. Did you sense that?
No, not at all. I mean, you know, well, it wouldn't Cower then be considered old school?
But you test. Maybe they probably have some analytic where they're able to test the market and see what the fans want. I mean, they're doing it for a reason and they're expert at what they do. But and I'm all for change.
Well, you know what I think happened, Don. Sean McManus has run CBS forever. He just retired, so they brought a new guy in. Wants to put his own imprint.
But
by the way, that's the main thing.
And fine, that's good. You want to bring in fresh bodies. You want to bring in a different way of doing things. I guess my only problem with it is that it doesn't seem like you need any experience at all. Like, we saw all of these guys eventually gradually move up to where they were to prove that they can do it. Now it doesn't seem like whether they can do it or not is part of the process. How popular are they? How many followers do they have? Like, Paul Bissonnette's done a great job on TNT. He has. I think he's been tremendous. But one of, I think, the reasons he got that gig, he's part of Spitting Chicklets that has like over a million followers on Twitter. Like, so I feel like a lot of these guys get the opportunity. Jason Kelce is as relevant a professional athlete as there is right now, not based on how good an offensive lineman he was, but because of the podcast that he's on and who his brother is and his antics. Like, so they probably feel like, hey, let's put this guy in a game, see what happens. I'm more old school. I think you kind of got to work up to that level, but that doesn't seem to be the process of hiring anymore.
Now, in terms of Travis Kelce, he got a contract extension with the Chiefs.
All right.
Now he's the highest paid tight end in football.
I could see that.
There you go. And I think he's 35 years old, so it looked at the beginning of last year like he'd lost a step, but then when the playoffs hit,
he looks
back
like
to being Travis Kelce.
He turned right back into Travis Kelce.
I love it. I love a lot of stuff happening. I don't know if we can do it in just 3.5 hours. 1 hour's already down.
You know, I'm a little disappointed that hasn't happened yet, Michael, in recent days.
My resignation?
No. That you and Don haven't opened up one of your favorite fights to repeat over and over again.
What's that?
About just of all years, how much those wins in the middle of the Giants season with Tommy DeVito were such a waste. I mean, what's worse than a waste, Michael?
I enjoy them. I wouldn't take them.
Unmitigated
back.
Waste?
So even right now, Don, you'd still rather have those wins.
Yes.
Than have gotten a quarterback.
Yes.
Just get Malik Nabers instead and just pray that things fall.
Well, I don't think the Giants can be very good next year. Go 0-17, and then you can have the pick of the litter.
Yeah, let's play that game. Aren't as good.
And like they there was apparently one there they wanted. They just couldn't get up and get them.
Well, that's what they say. We don't know.
I just feel like this was the one year, Michael, where you remove a couple of those and they're sitting there at 3 to grab Drake May. Instead, we're playing this whole nonsense game where we trot Daniel Jones back out and have to do this again.
And they still need a quarterback, right? So go 0-17 next year.
There you go. So take it to the next level, you're saying. Really
exactly.
Tank.
That's you what want they tank. If you don't have a chance, because in your mind, if you don't have a chance to win, just lose every game and then just rebuild.
Well, see, Michael, this is
because the process
for.
Is really working in Philly, I'll tell you
I'm not going to get hoodwinked into joining us. No, Don, I've been doing this a long time. We're not gonna do the same thing again for you. We're not your little clowns, okay?
Fine.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.